We turn once again to Psalm 121. And as we gather around the Word of God, we remain seated and look to Him for help. Let's pray. Everlasting and ever blessed God, we bow our hearts deeply in Thy holy presence, and now before this, Thy holy, living, and inspired word, forgive us our unbelief, forgive us our pride and our prejudices, forgive us our sin of presumptuousness. But now, as we open these pages, and as we have these open pages before our faces, magnify Thy word in the assembly of Thy people. And we pray that Thou, the great God, who in the early days of creation cause light to shine out of darkness, well, here and now in our midst, shine into our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear us, for we ask these things in the name of Him who alone is always and altogether lovely, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You will notice that the title of the psalm tells us that it is a song of ascent. That is to say that this is a traveler's psalm, a pilgrim's psalm, a psalm that was sung by the members of the ancient church when they made their way to Jerusalem. Perhaps also when they were on their way away from Jerusalem after participating in one of the great feasts of the ancient Jewish church. Because this is a traveler's psalm, this is a psalm that I need at this present time. For I am a traveler, and even this evening my heart is filled with anxiety and with fear, leaving the known for the unknown, the certain for the uncertain, the familiar for the unfamiliar. But it is a psalm for you too, for as human beings we are all pilgrims and strangers upon this earth. Here we have no abiding city. Our calling is to look forward to the city whose builder and maker is God. And so at a purely human level, all our stories are the same. It is the story of rest and removals. It is the story of a traveling individual. The psalm begins, you notice, with a question. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? The traveler is perhaps approaching Jerusalem, but the evening has closed in and darkness has fallen upon the land. They are unable to make any further progress, and they have to pitch their tent where they find themselves. And the traveling man or woman sees the hills of Jerusalem beyond him for that night. Perhaps he is even surrounded by the hills, but he knows that hills can be places of refuge, but also places of danger. Places where bandits and robbers are hiding. Terrorists are ready to pounce on the innocent and the unexpecting. And so as he looks at the hills, as he is terrified by the prospect of spending a night surrounded by these hills and all that they are hiding, the believer begins to ask himself, where do I find my help? Where do I find my safety and my security? And immediately, perhaps from his own heart, or perhaps from the hearts and the voices of the other pilgrims who are traveling with him, the answer comes in verse 2. My help comes from Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. The help does not come from the hills, but it comes from the one who made the hills. It is not refuge in the hills, it is refuge in the God who is the maker of the hills. He is called Jehovah or Jehovah Jesus because he is the Almighty. But what does it mean to have the Almighty as our help in the midst of all our travels in this passing world? First of all, it means that he is a God who protects his people. Verse 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He affords protection for his people. He does not allow them to fail. He does not allow them to fall. He does not allow them to remain fallen. He comes to their rescue. He wipes away their tears. He lifts them up and he takes them in his own arms and he carries them through the crises of life. He is the God who helps his people because he is the God who works for the protection of his people. And you notice, he works for them and he protects them all the time because he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Perhaps when the pilgrims were traveling to Jerusalem and back, they had watchmen watching over them at night, protecting them from intruders and attackers. But even the best of human watchmen are vulnerable. They are not irresistible. But God never slumbers. He never falls asleep. He always works. in protecting his people. So he is the one who protects. Secondly, in verses 5 to 7, we notice that he is the God who preserves. In the Hebrew, it is the same verb that is used throughout the psalm. But there are nuances. In verse 5, he says, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul." Evil is any violation of purpose, of God's purpose. And because you and I are fallen creatures living in a fallen world, you and I are subject to evil within and evil from without. There are demonic forces that are our spiritual enemies, and they are determined to overpower and to destroy us. And the kingdom of Satan has its armies, and they are determined to damage us in every possible way. The evil is spiritual, but it is not only spiritual. It is also physical. It comes through sunstroke by day, in verse 6. But even by night we are not safe, because there is the possibility of being struck by the moon. There is physical danger. There is emotional and psychological danger that constantly surrounds us. And this is the evil. And when God, Jesus Christ, is our helper, he is not only the one who protects us, he is also the one who preserves us and preserves our lives in the face and in the midst of great dangers. Thirdly, we notice in verse 8 that he is a God who provides. "The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." He is the God who protects us all the time. He is the God who preserves us in every place that we go to. And now in verse 8, he is the God who provides for all our needs. In our going out and in our coming in, wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we are always the apple of the eye of our Heavenly Father. And nothing can befall us unless he first permits it for the good of his beloved people. The one who protects, the one who preserves, the one who provides. Provides us with health and with strength, provides us with peace and with joy, provides us with the food that we eat, the water that we drink, the clothes that we wear, the cars that we drive, and the homes that we live in, even the jobs that we do and the retirements that we enjoy. We enjoy them because of his goodness, because he is almighty. He is the God who protects, preserves, and provides. And finally, we see that he is the God who prospers. As children of the Most High God, we do not remain stagnant. By his grace, we never regress. Instead, we are always progressing. We are growing into Christian maturity, and we keep on growing until we begin to reflect more and more something of the image of Jesus Christ in our faces. And do you notice how he puts it at the end of verse 8? From this time forth and even forevermore. It is prosperity because it is not just progress for time, it is progress for an unending and unbreakable eternity. He provides for all our needs. But as Ezekiel 33 verse 11 tells us, to experience the blessing of God means to experience superabundance today and tomorrow more than we have ever experienced it in the past. It isn't just abundance, it is superabundance. And so as you and I continue in this journey that we call life, you and I have a help. His name is Jehovah Jesus. We are not helpless orphans in an unknown and mystical world. No, we are people made in the image of the living God. We are the children of the King of Zion. And you and I have a help. You and I have one who is our refuge. He protects us. He preserves us. He provides for all our various needs. And he is the one who prospers us until we reach glory. And so you notice, his hand is over us all the time. His hand is over us everywhere. His hand is upon us in everything. And his name is upon us for all eternity. And so the psalmist reminds himself and he reminds us to rest in the name of this great God who is Jehovah Jesus. And that help and refuge is to be found only with him. And so, my friend, I don't know your circumstances this evening. I don't know where you stand spiritually. I don't know where you are and where you are heading. But this one thing I know. You are as human as I am. And like me in this life, you are in need of a helper. You need a strong one to defend you. You need a strong name to be your refuge. You are not an orphan. You are not an almighty individual. You cannot make it on your own. But who will be your helper? Well, let me introduce you to Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of the Living God. He is the Almighty. He is able to protect you. He is able to preserve you. He is able to provide for you. And he alone is able to prosper you. And if you ask me and say, why has it got to be Jesus? Is there none other who can be my helper, my strength, my fortress, and my refuge? Why has it got to be Jesus Christ? Well, I'll tell you. Jesus Christ alone in all of history is qualified to be the helper of humanity. You see, when we speak of protection, when we speak of preservation and provision and prosperity, you and I can enjoy it only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, you remember, when he had been sentenced to death by Pontius Pilate, and when he was asked to bear his own cross up that steep hill that we call Golgotha, do you remember? His feet began to slip. He could not carry his own cross. And so they had to find a man called Simon of Cyrene to help Jesus Christ with his cross. Your foot and my foot does not slip because Jesus Christ carried the burden of your sin and mine, and he made himself vulnerable in our place. And you remember in Psalm 22 he prays for preservation. Save me, he says, from the bulls of Bashan who encircle me. Preserve my life from the sword and from the dog, he says. Preserve my life. And you know, your life and mine is preserved today because Jesus Christ tasted death in your place and mine. We speak of provision to be found in Christ Jesus. But do you not remember that when he went to the cross, he went in nakedness, in shame, in humiliation, and in thirst? He who is the Son of God and the Lord of glory, he made himself poor so that through him you and I might enjoy the riches of God. We speak of prosperity, how God takes us from one point of triumph to another, how he crowns us with glory and with honor. And did you not know that the only reason you and I are crowned with glory and with honor, you and I taste the goodness of God and enjoy his prosperity, because 2,000 years ago on that cruel Roman cross, Jesus Christ was forsaken by God the Father until he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, all that you and I enjoy from God, we enjoy because of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is qualified and demonstrated to be qualified to be the helper of humanity. And this is the helper, and this is the Savior that you and I need. And if you and I rest upon him, then we can face life and we can face all our tomorrows with confidence, because God is on the throne and he works for us to protect us, to preserve us, to provide for all our needs, and to prosper his cause in us and through us. Some years ago, the American talk show host Larry King was interviewed at the end of his time with CNN, the American news network. Larry King, if you know the name, you will know that he has interviewed nearly every significant person in the late 20th century. Now he was being interviewed and he was asked this question. Larry King, they said, if you could have interviewed one person in all of history, one person that you've not had the privilege of interviewing, who would it be? And without even waiting to think, Larry King said, Jesus of Nazareth. Secular, humanistic America was shocked by that reply. And then they asked him, what would you ask Jesus of Nazareth? And Larry King replied in this way, I will ask him if he was born of a virgin, because that will change everything for me. I will ask him if he was born of a virgin, because it will change everything for me. And he added, it will change everything for everybody. Sir, madam, have you wrestled before God on this person that is Jesus of Nazareth, the one who came to save his people from their sins? Have you met him? Have you bowed your heart and your knee to him? Have you confessed your helplessness to him? And have you received him as your helper, your strength, and your refuge? But 50 or 60 years before Larry King, that same wrestle with Jesus of Nazareth took place in Germany after the Second World War. Konrad Adenauer, who had been one-time mayor of Cologne, had been newly appointed as the Chancellor of West Germany. And his purpose was to re-establish Germany from the ravages of the Second World War. And then Adenauer heard about a young American evangelist called Billy Graham, who was conducting a crusade throughout Germany. And so one day, Dr. Adenauer invited Billy Graham to his office in the Chancellery. And when the American arrived, Dr. Adenauer stared piercingly at Billy Graham and said to him, Mr. Graham, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Billy Graham was taken aback by the directness of that question. And slowly he replied, Mr. Chancellor, if I did not believe in the death and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I have no gospel to preach. Konrad Adenauer turned on his heels, walked across the room to the window, looked out at the debris-strewn streets of Bonn. And then he turned again to Billy Graham and said, Mr. Graham, outside the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I know of no other hope for mankind. Outside the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I know of no other hope for mankind. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go our separate ways, you and I have the one God to be our helper, the one who protects, the one who preserves, the one who provides, and the one who prospers. He alone is worthy to be our helper, because Jesus Christ is not only the crucified Messiah, He is the risen Savior and the pregnant King. May God bless His word to our hearts. We sing now from Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Thy foothill not let slide, nor will he slumber that thee keeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not nor sleeps. The Lord thee keeps, the Lord thy shade, on thy right hand doth stay. The moon by night thee shall not smite, nor yet the sun by day. The Lord shall keep thy soul, he shall preserve thee from all ill. Henceforth thy going out and in, God keep forever will. Psalm 121, the whole psalm, and we stand to sing to God's praise.
I to the
provision for us in Jesus Christ thy Son, that the stroke which ought to have fallen upon us has now fallen on him. And so in him we enjoy thy protection, thy preservation, thy provision, and thy prosperity for all time and for all eternity. Help us, we pray thee, to enjoy more and more the sweetness of the glories of Jesus Christ. Grant that for all our lives we will be enraptured by his beauty, and our hearts will be purified by his holy presence. And as we depart one from the other this night, grant that we would meet frequently before thy throne of grace. And if we should never meet again upon this earth, grant us the privilege of meeting at the right hand of thy throne in heaven, forever and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. Amen.